Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. I know that. So, you know, I get to where I had a. This is water, by the way. I had a. It is. It's water.
Okay.
Okay, good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, it helps to have a sense of humor, especially when I'm up here. So, just want to thank the Lord for all he does for us. Like I say, yesterday we had a good day. Some people did get overheated, you know, so we, you know, kind of pray for them. But we had a good day and got a lot done. That's good, and everybody was safe. So we're going to get back today, and still in the book of Ephesians. I've got actually 5 more lessons to do, and then you guys will be rid of me for a while. So anyway, we're going to continue our study in the practice of believers. And today we're going to look at in relationship to the Holy Spirit. So the practice of believers today in the relationship to the Holy Spirit. And we just got 4 verses we're going to go through, and we're going to talk about it. And we're in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read 18 through 21. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. And God's word says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit yourselves one to another in fear of God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for your word, and Lord, how it just blesses my soul to read it, Lord, and to be able to practice it, Lord. And we thank you that you preserved your word down through the ages, Lord, and only you could do that. So, Lord, we just pray that as we look into your word, Lord, you keep me focused. Don't let me say anything that doesn't line up with your word. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, in verse 18 it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, at the end of that verse it says, it doesn't say this. It doesn't say, "But please be filled with the Spirit." It doesn't say, "Sometimes be filled with the Spirit." It says, "But be filled with the Spirit." Now, this is not asking. It's telling us to. Okay? Basically, this verse, if you want to get right down to it, it's commanding you to be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, as I studied this, I got to thinking about different things. And the modern, the reason I thought of this, because I was raised in Texas and there was a lot of United Pentecostals around me, even in my job. And they have a couple of myths that they teach, which is, by the way, it's false. And one of those myths, and I want to get back to this first. It says, I put down here, the modern charismatic movement has incredibly confused the doctrine of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've ever been around some of these people, you hear that a lot. You know, they just confuse this whole doctrine. Okay? So one of the myths that they have is the filling of the Spirit is the same as a baptism with the Spirit or receiving the Spirit. Many charismatic movements assume and teach that the filling of the Spirit and the baptism with the Spirit are identical. They teach that. This false teaching has its basis in the fact that on the day of Pentecost, the apostles were both baptized with the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. Just because both of these things happen in the same day doesn't mean that they're identical. The term baptism and filling are almost opposite. Baptism means to immerse, getting the outside wet or covered, where filling something only affects the inside of the container or the vessel. Now, we're going to examine some verses here, and we're going to see that baptism with the Spirit only happens one time in the life of a believer. Okay? And the only condition for that baptism is salvation. But there are several conditions for being filled with the Spirit, including prayer, submission to God, and obedience. The baptism of the Spirit puts one into Jesus Christ. When you get saved, God baptizes you into His family. The filling makes more one like Jesus Christ. So the baptism puts one into Jesus Christ. The filling makes one more like Jesus Christ. The baptism results in position, or the person is saved, while the filling results in power. What happened to the apostles on the day of Pentecost was an initial event that involved several different acts of God, which must be kept in their separate places to be understood. Now, the first myth is they believe the modern-day charismatics, they believe that they're identical, the baptism and the filling. That's the first myth. The second myth that they teach is the evidence of the filling of the Holy Spirit is what? Speaking in tongues. That's what they teach. Believe me, I've been around them and I know. This false teaching results in looking at only Acts 2:4 and ignoring all the other verses of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Scripture makes it very clear that the primary evidence of the filling of the Spirit is what? Anybody? What is the primary example of what the Spirit does to you when you're filled? Mostly it's taught. What I've looked in the Bible, it's mostly boldness. When you get filled with the Spirit, God gives you boldness to do what? Witness, to be able to tell people about the Lord. Okay? Now, we're going to look at some scriptures that gives us this reference of filling of the Spirit. And only tongues is mentioned one time in this. So let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Now, this is the one that teaches, that says about the tongues. Acts 2, 4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, drop down to verse 14. Acts 2, 14. It says, "But Peter stands up with the 11," so that makes 12 of them, Peter and the other 11, "lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you and hearken unto my words." Now, Peter, he's standing up in front of all Judea and Jerusalem, and he's saying, "Hear me, folks. That's bold. That takes boldness to stand up and do that. All right, drop down to verse, that was 14. Go to chapter 4 in Acts. Chapter 4, and let's look at verse 8. Chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." So he's talking to the rulers of the nation of Israel and all the elders. And he's saying, listen to me. Drop down to verse 13. 4:13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." It took boldness there. Drop down to verse 31 in chapter 4. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Okay? Now, go over to chapter 9 of Acts. Chapter 9 and verse 17. Chapter 9, verse 17. It says, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, if you don't think it took some boldness for Ananias to go do this, you better read a little better. Because Saul at this time, he was going around persecuting Christians, putting them in jail. He was not being an easy man. He held the coats for the men that stoned Stephen to death. So Ananias, God tells Ananias, you got to go over and talk to them. Oh, God, I don't want to go do that. That would be me. Man, I'm scared of this guy. He's crazy. You go do it. That took boldness for Ananias to do that, folks. All right, now that was verse 17. Drop down to verse 20. "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God." This is Paul. He goes to the synagogue and he preaches Jesus to them. That takes a lot of boldness. Okay. And then drop down to verse 27. "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." There again, we see boldness. Now go over to chapter 13. Chapter 13, look, we're going to start at verse 8. Chapter 13 of Acts, verse 8. "But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" Now, Paul here, he's looking at the devil right in the face. And he's not very easy with him. He tells him here, you know, it goes on to where God strikes this guy and makes him blind for a season. So that took boldness for that to happen. Okay, one more verse to look at. Acts 13:52. Acts 13:52. And it says, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." So this is one that's different from boldness. They were filled with joy. So what then is the filling of the Spirit? The filling of the Spirit in this verse in Acts in Ephesians 5:18 says, "But be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Folks, this is not an option to the Christian. It's not automatic for all believers. The baptism with the Spirit is never commanded in Scripture as it is an automatic thing. When you get saved, God baptizes you into His body. Okay? If we look at, I got it wrote down. You don't have to go there. I'll read it. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So the filling involves the Spirit and complete control of the Christian. I want you to note here how it says in 5:18, "And be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, you note how it's compared with drunkenness. When a person is completely under the control of an influence, and in this case, this external force is wine for the drunk, and the Spirit for the Spirit-filled believer. Two things are necessary to be filled with the Spirit. One, he or she must first be in complete submission to God and be obediently serving Him. You see that in Romans chapter 6. You see it in Romans chapter 8, 1 through 8. And you see it in Galatians 5, 16 through 18. So that's the first one. You have to be in complete submission and obedient to serving Him. The second thing is to the filling of the Spirit is to be asked for in prayer. I want you to go back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 14. Acts 1, 14. And it says, "These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and the Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren." So they were in prayer. Then if you drop down to chapter 2, verse 2, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." And then if you go over to Acts 4, we read it. I'm going to read it again. Acts 4:31. It says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with," not with tongues, "with boldness." Okay? Now, as I pointed out, the evidence that God has indeed filled the believer with the Holy Spirit is boldness to publicly testify on God's behalf and to stand against sin. Now, here, before too long, we're going to have our, at the fair, we're going to have a fair booth. And if you don't think it takes boldness to stand out there in front of everybody that are coming by and just even hand out a tract, it takes boldness, folks. I'm not saying if you've never done that, you need to do it. And I know the first time I done it, it wasn't easy. I know me and my wife both had done it at our previous church, and it wasn't easy at first, but that's where you got to pray. You know, ask God for boldness and He'll do it. Okay, now the best way that I know how to illustrate this doctrine is to compare it with this right here. This is just a little bit of water in here. The top is sealed. It was sealed until Brother Jason broke it. But this is a very good way to compare the filling. At salvation, the Christian receives the Holy Spirit and is sealed. He or she has all of the Holy Spirit that they're ever going to get. And you can go back over to Ephesians 1. I'll read it. 13, it says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." So this jar is sealed right now. And let's, just for purposes of showing you, that's the Holy Spirit in there. Okay? Now, if this sealed jar is heated, that water will turn to steam and it'll fill this jar. You're not going to add more water to it to fill it. Under the right circumstances, this jar is going to heat up and fill it. That's an example of what God does to us. This Holy Spirit that's in here, God uses circumstances. And believe me, he's done it on my family, me and my wife both. He uses circumstances to get your attention. And when he uses them circumstances, you go to what? You go to God in prayer, right? Okay? I don't know how I got off on that. But he does use circumstances. So when that jar's heated, it fills, gets filled with steam, and no more has been added. It's the same amount was there. That's a picture of how we are. When we get saved, God comes into our hearts, into our lives, and he puts his Holy Spirit in us. And then as we grow, he uses us and he fills us at times. The filling of the Holy Spirit doesn't always stay with you all the time. There's circumstances that can not take the Spirit away from you, but being filled with the Spirit. So the Christian under right conditions, yielding to God, observing, being obedient, no unconfessed sin, puts him or herself in position where the Spirit can fill them and use them and empower them for his service. It's not how much of the Spirit you have, but it's how much of you does the Spirit have. Okay. All right, now let's move on. Verse 19 of Ephesians 5:19 says, and I got to hurry, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart to the Lord. If you go to Acts 16:25, I'll do it. Acts 16:25, it says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." That was the wrong verse. Verse 25 says, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." So speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. All right, and then over in Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So it said there we are to be admonish one another by psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what our verse said, 19, Ephesians 5, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. And then verse 20, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalms 34:1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. And in Colossians 3:17, it says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, folks, it pleases God when we do what verse 20 says of Ephesians 5. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That pleases God when you do that. You know, it's not easy to give thanks when you're going through turmoil. It's not. That's hard. But one of the verses, I must have passed it up, one of the verses that says when you're suffering, what do? You pray. When you're happy, what do? You praise. Okay? Verse 21, 5:21, Ephesians says, submit yourself one to another in the fear of God. Then over in Philippians 2:3, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. So, for us as Christians, we are to be united. What does it say in Ephesians 4? I'll go there and read it. Ephesians 4:3. It says, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then in 4:13, it says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measures of the statutes of the fullness of Christ. So we are to be united. In our text, it said, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. This week in the practice of believers in relationship to the Holy Spirit, I had to pick verse 18, which is what? It commands us to be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't ask you, folks. And when I was doing this lesson, I read that, and I had to think on that a little bit. Now, I can't tell you, I can't stand up here and tell you that I'm filled with the Spirit very much. Probably not. Probably the least of this room. But it's something that we need to be. You know, you need to be committed to the Lord, you know, and you need to pray about it, you know. So being filled with the Spirit is not easy. It ain't for me. But God commands us to be filled with the Spirit. He don't ask us. That verse didn't say, please. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for your word. And appreciate what it means to me, Lord, and I thank you for it, Lord, and I just pray, Father, that somebody that got something out of this other than me, Lord, I know I got a lot out of it, so just pray you be with all these folks, Lord. They're here because they love you. They're not here to listen to me. They're here because they love you, and they want to be around you, and they want to be edified by you. So, Lord, I just pray you'll use this lesson, Lord. I pray you that you'll be with our services. Brother Fiedler is going to bring the message. I pray you'll be with him. Anoint him with your Spirit, Lord. Be with all of us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.